I would like to focus a bit on the study financing needs in agriculture and in the food sector in Poland. Could I ask to Miglena Dobrowa, financial instrument advisor at the AB, and to Michał Dueskiewicz, who is research experts at ECORYS, to give us a flavor of the main findings of the study. I would say ladies first, if you agree, Michał, and I will give the floor to Miglena first. Thanks. Miglena, over to you.
Thank you, Bruno. Dzień dobry, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to all webinar participants on my side. I'm very pleased to be with you today and to speak about the work we have done under the WIKOMPA study on financing needs in agriculture and agri-food sectors in 24 EU member states, of which one is Poland. The extensive work we've done under the study wouldn't have been possible without the support of a consortium led by ECORYS, and also without the valuable support from the colleagues from DG Agri. Today, we have Michał with us from the consortium's pool of country experts, who was involved in the preparation of the country report for Poland, and together we'll try to give you an overview of the findings of the study. If we move to the next slide, let's start with an overview of the methodological aspects on which the study is based, and the methodology, which of course applies to all 24 member states, you can see on the slides, built on the principle that financing gap is based on the unmet demand for finance from viable enterprises only. And why? Since the rejection of loan applications that come from non-viable enterprises cannot be considered as market failure and cannot be accounted in the financing gap. Therefore, we have taken into account applications for finance which are rejected by a financial institution, for example, because the farmer or the agri-food enterprise lacks a credit history, has other existing debt or issues with the required collateral. Then next, we took into account loan offers which have been refused by the potential borrower, be it farmer or agri-food enterprise, because the lending conditions offered like a higher interest rate or maturity or collateral requests have been considered unsatisfactory. And third, very important element that we have assumed is the value of loan applications not submitted by the farmers or enterprises, because they fear that the application would for sure be rejected. And as illustrated on the slide, we have there is a three-layered approach that we have applied, representing a mix of quantitative and qualitative analysis. And on one hand, as Bruno mentioned in his introductory words, the study is building on the information collected through two representative surveys carried out among 7,600 farmers and 2,100 agri-food enterprises. This element of the methodology was aimed at looking at the demand side, and the survey answers are actually the basis for the calculation of the financing gap estimate in each member state, including Poland. The second layer then included interviews with banks and financial institutions in each member state, which helped to collect feedback on the supply side of the analysis in order to complement the demand side based on the survey results. Then all these results from both supply and side and supply and demand side analysis have been validated and substantiated through a third layer of interviews with numerous stakeholders in the agriculture and agri-food sectors in each of the 24 member states analyzed. And so here we speak about more than 400 interviews with stakeholders, which I'm mentioning it because it gives you a flavor that it's really an extensive work that we have taken into account in order to make the findings of the study very accurate and give a good view. Based on this approach, we try to provide not only a numerical gap estimate, but a much more comprehensive picture of the market situation, including the characteristics of the demand and the supply of finance and the possible obstacles in the access to credit market for farmers and agri-food enterprises. And therefore, this is the reason why we always invite the managing authorities that are reading our reports and all the other interested stakeholders to read the full analysis in our country reports and not to take into account just the gap estimate. And now, how this methodology applied to Poland. In the survey for farms, we got feedback from 320 farms and 130 agri-food enterprises. And their feedback we used to calculate the gap in the country. Then in-depth interviews have been conducted with 24 stakeholders, including the Polish Ministry of Agriculture, the number of cooperative banks, commercial banks and other financial institutions. Also leasing companies were interviewed, farmers and agri-food processors as associations. And if we move to the next slide, let's see the financing gap estimation for both sectors that we've calculated. As Mr. Golubiewski already mentioned in his opening words, there is a substantial financing gap for agriculture sector that we have identified, and it's in the range of 3 to 6 billion euros. I'm not going into further details, but we've calculated the different bounds using applying turnover as a viability criteria. And then if we look on the right, the financing gap for the agri-food sector accounts for 84 million euros. Further on, to get more a concrete view of the gap, we analyzed it in two dimensions, in view of the type of the financing products and the type of farms, or respectively the size of the agri-food enterprises. And the results with this regard showed that demand for credit in the agriculture sector is highly concentrated, with most coming from small-sized farms below 20 hectares, accounting for 85% of the total gap, and mostly the products that have been mostly required are medium and long-term loans. In addition, the analysis also indicated that young farmers and new entrants represent a considerable part of the gap, in the range of 50 to 70%, which interestingly is twice as much as the EU24 average. This is due mainly to the fact that in addition to the overall challenge of providing sufficient collateral and proofing their creditworthiness, this target group also lack credit history, and the banks tend to be hesitant providing financing to them. With this regard, offering technical support might be of help to help. Looking then in the gap in the agri-food sector, results show that it concentrates mostly for small-sized enterprises, around 58% of the total gap, and drilling down in terms of loan products, 62% of the gap seems to be for long-term loans, with maturity of over than more than 5 years. Although it's less accentuated than for the agriculture sector, this is important to note. And then the next elements, it's financing needs for medium, long-term and credit lines. And I'll stop here and the floor back to Bruno, and Michal will give you more details in the following slides about the main determinants of the gap and the recommendations.
Thank you, Miglena. Thank you for, let's say, covering the first part of the findings of the study. Let's move on. What are the key obstacles to access finance in Poland, and what are the recommendations? Michal, the floor is yours.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am very happy to present the results of our survey here at this webinar, and I'm also very glad about the beautiful weather that is now visible all across Poland. Thank you to Miglena for presenting the details of the financial gap found in the agricultural and agro-food sectors in Poland, 3 to 6 billion euros in the agricultural sector and 85 million euros in the agro-food industry. This should be related to the amount of financing, for example, investment in the two industries. For example, in 2018, the amount of investment in the agricultural sector was 1.3 billion euros. So we are talking about a financial gap of almost 50%. So this is one of the larger gaps in the European Union. For the agro-food sector, the gap is somewhat better. The investment was 2.3 billion euros. Let us have a look what are the investment demand drivers. And which then results in the financial gap. Well, Polish farms and agro-food enterprises have pretty low productivity and pretty low production volumes in comparison to the European average. And this is causing major needs for investment in production capacities, automation, machinery, also purchase of land and modernization or purchase of buildings, production buildings. At the same time, our domestic companies and farmers are looking for new sales markets, domestic or international, and this requires them to meet various standards that are present in these other markets. And this also requires investment to meet these requirements. Furthermore, we observe a large increase of labor costs, especially in recent years. And we also see that these two sectors are declining in terms of the workforce. This is very hard work, and people leave rural areas and move to cities. Moreover, costs of input materials, raw materials, semi-finished products are growing as well. I think we have all observed this in recent years, namely that farming and agro-food production is also under a major influence of climate change. Poland is a dry country in the European Union. We, on average, have only half of the water available available in other member states. We also have observed over the past decade quite extreme weather phenomena, which occur in new patterns, unknown patterns. For example, we have downpour rains just before harvest time, which, well, such strong winds or torrential rains deteriorate the quality of the soil. And then when heavy equipment is used in the field, when more fertilizers are being used, this leads to degradation of the soil, and farmers will need to face this factor as a major challenge in the years to come. They will need to think of technologies that would preserve the quality of the soil, and it really means changing the production methods. Finally, we also observe changing purchasing patterns of final consumers. Diet changes, diet habit change. People eat less meat or different kind of meat. They switch to non-dairy milk. So this obviously has an influence on changes in the in these subsectors. In this slide, you can see information about the various instruments. I maybe will not discuss them in detail because we will hear more about this in the presentations that will follow. Could I ask for the next slide, please? So, the major challenges. Well, but before that, let me first try to define the problem. A financial gap, as Maciej said at the beginning, it mainly concerns medium and long-term financing, so investment loans. Mainly 50 to 70% of the gap, which is twice as high as the average in the Union. So we have to be aware of this. Let us also have a look at the sources of financing. Over 50% is cooperative banks who are represented here today, and 25% is commercial banks. A few of them, again, are represented here today, so they will provide more information about their activities. And now on to the challenges faced by our farmers and agri-food enterprises. Well, in both sectors, we see a lot of fragmentation. Over 50% of farms are below 5 hectares. 90% is below 20 hectares. So this is a huge fragmentation. For agro-food sector, we observe the same, 75% of enterprises employ below 50 people. So the majority of these companies are micro or small enterprises. And as I mentioned already, these enterprises have low productivity, low level of machinery use, much below the European average. And for example, before accession into the European Union, an average tractor in Poland was 10 years old. So now these tractors are somewhat newer, but still much older than the average in the European Union. Let's not forget about young farmers and there are problems. As we have heard already, they don't have any credit history, they don't have the assets to provide collateral and to get financing for new technologies. Usually these are children of farmers, although we have some new people coming into the rural areas and to start farming production. But the lack of credit history is a major factor and a major obstacle. And here some kind of financial instruments could help them a lot. Even if you have a young farmer who inherits a farm from their parents, we have to remember that the value of the assets and of the land, the equipment, the buildings is usually not very high. Usually they are fully depreciated by then. And the value of land, even though we have witness a rapid growth here of 15% per year, is still low if you compare it to the needs for investments. Noteworthy, the bookkeeping skills, accounting skills are low among young farmers. So this also undermines their creditworthiness assessment and then translates into rejection of loan applications. So there is a need. And also on the side of banks, this means that they need employees who do understand farming and productivity in farming, even based on imperfect accounting documents. Next slide, please. I'm sorry for this. So what are the recommendations of our report? The speakers before me have already mentioned this, and it's well known that based on reports like ours, instruments, measures, and tools should be designed to address the needs of the major beneficiaries. Which is to have access to medium and long-term loans, mainly for investment into new technologies and land. The major obstacles here is understanding the risk involved in these investment projects, how to manage this risk. And here, definitely training would be very useful. Also training in new standards, in new requirements, also international requirements. And understanding of the impact of climate change on farming production and how to counteract them. And the most needing beneficiaries, according to our report, are small farmers and small enterprises. Thank you very much.